¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe. Okay.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highland Pines Golf Club in Porter. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Shotwell, though, hits this one deep to right field. Tucker going back on it. Tucker at the wall. And that's a 3-run home run. First pitch swinging from Shotwell, and he didn't miss it.
Oh, Fromber. We're broadcasting live from the Occasional Invitational out here at the Highland Pines Golf Club. Beautiful day. Bunch of the guys on the course. Jeremy, Joel, Lance, Todd, John, of course. John Granato's golfing, of course. I mean, it's a golf tournament. John Granato's going to play. So a bunch of people are out there on the course right now. So far, it's been great. It's a beautiful day outside. Great lunch. Looking forward to the award ceremony coming up here a little bit later. But we'll be with you here till 3. The Bees, when they get done golfing, hopefully right at 3 o'clock, we'll be here. I hope. If not, I'm sticking around. I'm stuck with you guys until Jeremy and Joel show up. Paul's not. I'm not making Paul stay because I didn't ask Paul this. So I can see the look on Paul's face. Paul doesn't have to stay.
It's ridiculous that they would be late to their own show for golf. But, hey, they're a big afternoon. So you know what? Different rules for different folks.
Maybe next Occasional Invitational, we just pretend that we golf and we just take off the whole show.
Yeah, we could do that. I'm surprised that Jeremy's taking time out of his busy remote schedule and golf time to do a show. But, hey, you know, some of us have to pay the bills in ulterior ways. So, there you go.
Well, you know, Fromber Valdez was trash for one inning.
Yeah. I mean, that was just the start because the 3-run homer begat 3 pitches in a row, single, mound visit, home run.
Yep.
Game over. Even though the Astros were just down 1 run at that moment in time, it really felt like, oh, boy, they're not going to be able to pull their way back into that one. And then Rafael Montero comes in and adds a nice turd on top of the turd mountain with the Rafael Montero show resuming and just allowing a home run right away. So very frustrating loss. Probably the most frustrating of the year thus far because the vibes were starting to get back. And then you got this big old stinker right in the middle of it.
Yeah, so just to kind of go, let's go back in time here a little bit. A couple weeks ago, we're having a conversation. We see a lineup, and then we're all talking about how, okay, Victor Caratini is probably going to catch Fromber Valdez the rest of the season. Then his last start, Fromber Valdez is on the mound. Yainer Diaz is catching. Fromber Valdez went 11 innings, giving up 6 hits with 10 strikeouts between that start and through 4 innings last night. They get to the fifth. And then all of a sudden, Fromber Valdez, who thinks he clearly knows best, who thinks he knows better than everyone else, decides, screw the game plan, I'm going to touch 99, which, like, where did that come from? And I'm just going to call my own pitches. And I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And it's funny, because didn't we have this conversation? Oh, yes. We started spring training with this conversation, in which Fromber Valdez said he was going to use the pitch comm himself. And what happened? Oh, he got shelled in his first spring training game. And then Joe Espada said, no, we're not doing this, Fromber. You're not in charge. Your catcher's in charge. So I don't know if it's a lack of faith in Yainer Diaz, even though he just went 11 innings with 10 strikeouts between the last start and through 4 innings, and then decided just to give up the world and be absolutely terrible and selfish and a bad teammate. But what are you doing, Fromber? Why?
It's very convenient to have a translator during times like this.
I agree.
I mean, you don't have to face the music, really. I saw the post-game interview that he did. It's very strange that he feels that he, I guess, has the power to do this, especially after the spring training that we discussed, how he had the pitch calm for him at first. I'm going to make the calls, and they said no after one start. After how bad he was against the Rangers, after his meltdowns that he had last year, as he's working towards getting a long-term contract, doesn't seem like it's in his best interests to operate this way. But after the game, I mean, everyone threw him under the bus. It was Yiner Diaz. It was Joe Espada, who we heard from. I really look at this going forward, and you got to wonder, is there a fix to this, or is this just what you're going to get? You're going to have rogue Framber Valdez with his little pencil pirate mustache showing up on the mound, and after, you know, a pretty good outing to that point, just deciding, you know what, let's see what happens.
Yeah,
here.
Just like, let's screw it.
It's Brett Favre-esque. It's when you just decide, hey, I've got the talent to do whatever I want. And I feel like at this point he should have learned that he hasn't. And, you know, it is definitely a sign that everyone threw him under the bus after the game.
Big time. Well, let's hear from Joe Espada. Here is Joe Espada after last night's game talking about Framber Valdez's meltdown on the mound.
He just kind of lost, started leaving some pitches like in the heart of the plate, and they put some really good swings on him. You know, his stuff was really good. Sinker, curveball, just that fifth inning, he just kind of lost feel for the zone, and they put some really good swings on.
Do you think he let the first home run get to him a little bit as the motions got out of control that just happened to him?
No, I think he just kind of lost the, you know, like the game plan kind of lost it a little bit. You know, he started making some pitches where, you know, I thought he was going to go a different way against certain hitters. And then he just couldn't get back on track.
Listen to him struggling to explain it, because he's not getting the answers probably from Framber Valdez when he comes back into the dugout. I would assume that there would need to be a translator for that to happen. I don't know what the conversation that Josh Miller had with Framber was right before the home run, where, as brought up on the Twitch, he shook off Yiner three times in a row at one time, and it resulted in a home run.
Yeah.
So he's just not listening to anybody? I've been taking Duolingo. No hablo inglés. I mean, I don't know where this started, why this happened in this outing. But, I mean, in a night where the Mariners rallied against the New York Yankees and it increased their AL West lead, you know, it's games like this that stack up, and you ultimately find yourself potentially at the end of the year looking up at teams that actually could make the playoffs. And really, this one is easily on Framber. There's no 100%. One really else to point at in this game.
No, it is childish. It is immature. It is being a bad teammate. Like, Daewon Donna is one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life, and she's putting on the Twitch, screw Framber, it's selfish. Like, yes, everything about that decision last night, it just makes no sense. And then after the game, just but reading the quotes that Chandler was putting out there and others, you know, through Fromber's translator about how he just decided to shake off Yiner, and Yiner was calling a great game, I don't understand. I don't understand how you can be so successful for 11 straight innings, and then just have this mental breakdown of selfishness for no reason. If this was Hunter Brown, we would be saying to cut his ass today or send him to his AAA to learn a lesson. If this was a basketball game and it was Jalen Green, he'd be on the bench. The problem is that he's your best pitcher, supposedly, but this is one of the most unbelievable things I've seen. And it's not the first time we've seen it.
That's why it's not unbelievable.
Like, it's not. Like, I saw a couple people tweet about this yesterday. I was also looking for the article, but I remember this story from a couple years ago. Lance McCullers said the same exact thing. So everyone here on the Twitch and on the text line who's going to say bring back Maldi, Lance McCullers literally did this to Martin Maldonado in the last couple of years. His next start, Maldonado shut it down, and Lance was great. But I'm not going to blame Yiner a second of this.
I'm not either, but at the same time, Maldi and Dusty Baker in this situation would be way stronger than that mamby-pamby answer that you heard from Joe Espada, who did not go out to the mound. I mean, it was just Josh Miller that was out there at first. And again, okay, you know, it's supposed to be the pitching coach that's out there. Who was there to shut things down? Yiner Diaz isn't going to do that as a young player, and I don't think that Joe Espada is going to do it either, because we've just seen that Joe Espada doesn't really get confrontational.
Yeah, if Yiner Diaz is not in that moment at the mound, not like letting his cojones drop and saying, hey, he's not listening to me, straighten him out, then you need to grow a pair.
It's a learning lesson for him.
Yeah.
Hopefully is what I look at it as. But it is a tricky spot, I think, if you are a young player to tell a guy who is established, this is how to do your job. And especially, too, I mean, the language gap is, it seems like it is a bit of an issue with Frommer specifically. I don't know how much English these guys speak behind closed doors. I'm sure that they're not completely, incapable of having a conversation with some of their teammates that speak English predominantly. But this is one of those dynamics that is complicated further by that side of Frommer, who has shown time and time again that his wits or his head, his mentals, as Marshawn Lynch would say, they're not his strength. Whether it's getting pissed off and throwing at a guy after a meltdown that he had against the Mariners, that he had against the Rangers, or if it's like last night where you don't even really know what's going on. And Joe, I know we have this scheduled for the next segment, but this is why I wonder about Frommer Valdez. Is this what having a kid's like? Is this what having a kid is like? I ask that because
yes.
Here's the other thing. I went out to Wings last night with my friends at Porch Swing Pub. Great place. I drive home, get home after 20 minutes. The Astros were up 6-1 when I left. I sit down. They're losing.
I know.
To me, it went through my head. This must be what it's like to have your kid disappear for 3 minutes, and the next thing you know, little Timmy's come back and he's blown off his hands because he's been playing with fireworks.
Yeah, so like last night, as this is going down, to show you how correct you are about this is what having a kid is like, I'm having a discussion with my 3-year-old because we can have full conversations now, and I'm saying, hey, what do you want for dinner? And he goes, pasta. So I make pasta. We're ready to go. Dinner's on the table. And then as soon as I put the pasta in front of him, you know what he does? No chicken. And I'm like, no, we're having pasta. You ask for pasta, eat the pasta. This is what you asked for. You get what you asked for. And you know what he did? He didn't eat it. And then by the time I finally got him to eat, you know what? He finally sat down. He took 2 bites and he goes, I want ice cream. Kid, this isn't what this is like. Like, and that's what Frommer Valdez is dealing like. He's like, I wanted to do it my way. Well, when things don't go well, like when my kid gets sick and it's his fault because he puts things in his mouth he's not supposed to. Like, it's your fault, dude. Like, this is your fault.
So, Joe Jr. is 3.
Yes.
Frommer Valdez is 31.
Something like that, yeah.
So, again, maybe some people are going to hear that, and they're going to say, that's a cringe comparison to make.
It's not.
But ultimately, I mean, you walk away as a viewer of Astros baseball with a 6-1 lead, think, there's no way that this is going to go worse. The Angels blow. This game's over.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, I wonder what I'm going to watch next because there's no NBA playoffs on tonight. And yeah, you know, the score's like that. You look away for a couple of seconds, and he's doing things like that. And yes, we love our children, but what if the kid's just been a rat bastard for, I don't know, a year?
I mean, look, here's the thing.
Because that's what it's been like with Frommer.
I'll do another comp here to even further this. Like, so there's been times where I've done what you did. I walk away. I'm going to the bathroom. I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to open the door for my wife because our front door doesn't open all the way sometimes. And I'm being a nice husband or just, you know, doing daily things. And I come back and my son, who's watching Bluey on the couch doing nothing, he's coloring on the walls. Like,
oh,
that's what last
crayons?
Night thought. Yeah, usually it's colored pencils. We wanna,
okay, so you can get rid of that.
So they're a little easier to get rid of. One time it was a Sharpie, and like that's terrifying. That's what last night was.
Oh, he's going to start tagging things.
It was a Sharpie on the wall. That's
watch
what
out, be someone, Bridge.
Yeah, it's that's, great.
That, well, listen, but again, he's 3, and the problem with this comparison with Frommer that we're making right now is not that we're comparing him to a 3-year-old. It's that he's doing things, and he's untrustworthy, a la a small child. And, I mean, at the very least, you've got this going for you. He is making the decision about whether or not to give him a long-term extension easier with every single instance like this. I mean, just over the last calendar year, how many examples do we have of Frommer not being trustworthy? The meltdowns that he had in those games against the Mariners and the Rangers, the Rangers in the ALCS, this spring training where he goes rogue. He has this natural desire, it seems like, to march to the beat of his own drum. And you know what? Some people can get away with that in life. The most talented people out there can.
Or 3-year-olds who don't know any better.
No, you're supposed to lay down the law as a parent.
He's learning.
This is why I think I would be a terrible parent, because I don't know how I'd be able to do it, because I would just get so frustrated all of the time. But with Fromber, there's no real getting to him, and he's not so talented that he gets to look the other way, pretend he didn't hear. And this happens yet again, and ultimately it results in, to this point, easily the most what the bleep Astros 100%. Loss of the year. And there's been a lot of those already this year, and that one takes the cake. Because
this will be the worst loss of the season.
Yeah. To quote the guy in Not Another Teen Movie, the play-by-play announcer, wham, bam, what the bleep happened. That is basically what happened in 5 minutes of driving home from a Wingstop.
All right, I've got a suggestion to solve the Fromber problems when we get back. And plus, as the text line brings up as well, this isn't even like the most recent, besides this experience of a pitcher shaking off Yiner Diaz and things going terribly.
Oh, no.
We'll get into that next as well here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highland Pines Golf Club for ESPN 97.5 and 92.5's Occasional Invitational.
Gallant George broadcasting live from Highland Pines Golf Club, the Occasional Invitational, talking about Fromber Valdez and what's going on with him yesterday. So I'd like to make an official declaration here. I don't want to wait. In theory, in August, you're going to have Christian Javier, Justin Verlander, Eric Geddy, Hunter Brown, Luis Garcia, Lance McCullers, Ronald Blanco. Trade him at the deadline.
Fromber,
move on.
Yeah, I'm with you already.
Even if you're going to try to win the World Series, move on.
Co-signed. No debate from me.
Like, get rid of him right now. Don't wait till next year. Don't wait till the offseason. Do it right now. Don't, and you know, because the thing is, too, is like, we know most likely what's going to happen is they won't do this, and he will sit on the Astros roster, and he'll be here next year, and we'll talk about him and his disaster starts next year and his mental breakdowns, and then he'll walk in free agency. Don't. Fromber, go on a heater here the next, like, 2 months. Don't be an idiot and get rid of him. Like, I don't think there's any need. To me, what happened last night is so disrespectful to your teammates, and it is a pattern. And I just don't think you need Fromber Valdez to win a World Series. I'm going to be honest. I think that Ronald Blanco and Javier and Verlander and Luis Garcia and McCullers, you can piece it together. 7-8-9 is going to figure it out. They're going to be good. We saw Presley return to the mound last night. The lineup is awesome. We know that. We know that it can be the best lineup in baseball. The Astros can win the American League without Fromber Valdez. Trade him.
I'll co-sign that. What would you get in return for him? Probably more than you would get, because the guy's got half a year left this year and another year on his contract.
Yeah.
And I imagine wherever he goes, he'll actually feel a kick in the ass for the first time and perhaps be a little bit more consistent. But, I mean, this is a team. Remember, there were articles about the mental coaches that he's had too. I mean, the Astros have poured every single resource except for a long-term contract into Fromber Valdez, and that's the last thing that any of us should want right now, just given the Astros' history when they've been giving out the long-term contracts to pitchers, whether it's Lance McCullers or with where we're at with Ryan Presley right now and his ring finger injury, or it's Rafael Montero. The extensions generally don't work out. You'd probably be able to help rebuild the farm system in some way, shape, or form. And if that is what Dana Brown's primary job is now as Astros general manager, maybe this is something that's on the table. Ultimately, Fromber Valdez is something that becomes more of a problem when the leadership that you have in the clubhouse is lacking. And, I mean, we've seen in that piece by Chandler Rome that whether you agree or disagree, the departures of Martin Maldonado, Hector Neris, and Michael Brantley have had an impact on this clubhouse. How much of one, who knows, but things like this with Fromber become a wildfire if unchecked by the clubhouse proverbial firefighters, and who that guy is right now, I don't know. It's definitely not Joe Espada. We have just learned that from his demeanor at this point. Whether that's good or bad, that's up to you. But right now, that's what I know Espada is. He's not a confrontational person, just based off of everything we've
Big
seen.
Time.
Look at the issues that the times where he's conversed with the umpire so calmly and politely. And that's not, again, necessarily an indictment on him. But if you don't have somebody that can take care of this, then to what you said, Joe, trade him, bolster the farm system. I'm game for it.
You can win without him. Like, you have enough pitching to win without him. Your lineup's good enough. Your bullpen can be good enough. Like, I still firmly believe that Abreu, Presley, Hader, when you get to the playoffs, no one wants to face those guys. No one wants to face Kyle Tucker, who's second in the league in home runs. Jordan Alvarez is going to get hot and start hitting bombs left and right before we know it. Altuve is going. Pena's going. Like this is a history of problems with Fromber. Like, whether it is big-time fielding mistakes, what we saw last year, like, yeah, he responded the day they traded Justin Verlander by throwing a no-hitter. What happened the start before? What happened the start after? What happened the rest of the season? Like, he's not going to sign here long-term, so if you're going to do it, this is the moment.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's why. Now, with Yiner, as much as I don't want to blame him for last night, and I blame it all on Fromber, there does seem to be a little bit of pushback from the starters in general. Whether you go back to spring training with Fromber or what we saw the other day with Justin Verlander, where he had that, you know, great battle with Contreras, and he lost. And he here is JV talking about that at bat after the game.
I can go home and put my head on my pillow tonight. Made a bunch of good pitches, he's one of the best hitters in baseball, and he got me. So, still hurts, sucks. Just a epic at bat, frustrating. Honestly, like, that at bat doesn't really bother me that much. It's the kind of got out of sequence, that inning, a couple walks, that to me, the home run, obviously, on the scoreboard is the difference of the game. But for me, kind of losing my mechanics a little bit and walking a couple guys is a bit more frustrating. You guys know it's been well documented. I've been going through a bit of a mechanical change, so it happens.
That pillow comment right there, which he walks back as the comment continues. It's so insufferable. And then talking about the outing sort of like it's spring training. It's been well documented that I've been working on some mechanical things. No, it actually hasn't been that well documented. Thanks for sharing with the class, though. So you're hearing that from Justin Verlander, and Fromber's doing what he's doing. And I mean, you got to have some major questions about what's going on. I mean... Joe, if I'm looking at the fall guy, we've discussed this before, the next fall guy, now that Jose Abreu has been sent to West Palm Beach, in quotation marks, but it seems to be back on Friday, I feel like Josh Miller is the next one in the crosshairs.
Yeah.
The pitching coach for the Astros.
Yeah, we talked about that a month or two ago, and there was a good amount of pushback to that. It's just more of, at some point, things change, right? Like, the Astros have done a really good job of keeping their staff together, whether it's the hitting coaches, the pitching coaches, besides, obviously, Stromme leaving to go to Arizona. But, Miller and Murphy, they were here with Strom. So, yeah, these things do continue. If there's always a fall guy. We see this in sports all the time. Whether it's right or wrong, the players never get blamed last. They're always pitching coaches, hitting coaches that always get the blame. And a lot of times what you'll see will happen, especially in baseball, we've seen this a million times, where a hitting coach gets fired and the next year it's not any better. And that's kind of the moment where you realize that. I don't know if Miller is the guy that gets the blame here, but clearly, like, there's the pitchers, your two top guys, in quotes, because Fromber, I have question marks about just being able to do this consistently. They got to find some balance with Yiner. Like, that's the big thing for the Astros. Like, if you are going to not have what happened last night and you have questions about, Yiner Diaz's decisions behind the plate, you got to kind of figure out, like, why is that? Why did they go to Caratini for, like, five or six starts, I think it was, in a row for Fromber, in between when Yiner started the season and the last two starts behind the plate for Fromber? Like what is going on to cause these issues, and what is the problem-solving solution that they're going to find? That's above my pay grade.
Well, here's the easy solution. Bench Fromber's ass. Just take him out of the next start and say, yeah, don't do that. But I imagine, since it's a marathon, not a sprint, that no baseball manager would actually do that, especially if your team is still struggling to get back above 500. But ultimately, there has to be some sort of consequences for something like last night. Has to be.
What do you think of Joe Spada's management of it, of the whole situation? Because obviously it unraveled so fast, the Fromber. Like, they didn't have anyone up. You didn't think they needed it, but it was three straight pitches. Like, it unraveled so quick. I do think Joe Spada should have reacted quicker to getting someone up in the bullpen. But at the same time,
the bullpen thing to me, that's not the issue as much as after.
Yeah.
It's about how do you handle the disastrous inning after it's done. How do you figure out what happened? Did you talk with Fromber after the inning? Did you talk with Yiner after the inning? I mean, we heard from him at the press conference, and I'm sure that there was some sort of discussion because there's lots of long downtime during a baseball game. But I think that that's really where I'm most curious about what happened, is about what did he say in the immediacy afterwards? What did Fromber say in the immediacy afterwards? Was Fromber apologetic? Was Fromber mad at himself? Was Fromber pushing back at the criticism that he was going rogue?
As the text line that Twitch has pointed out, like, he's like kind of laughing and smiling on the mound as it's happening. And I don't know if it's just like we all have – everyone like does like that nervous chuckle a little bit, or you just laugh when things go so poor and you just kind of laugh at yourself. I don't know if it's that, but, yeah, I mean, it'd be great to know. I'm curious for tomorrow when we're doing – are we down with Dana Brown? Curious what Dana Brown will have to say about this, because he's either going to give the most PC answer of all time, or he's going to maybe show some frustration for the first time.
Ugh.
I would hope I would hear frustration. That's what I hope to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I hope to hear frustration with the whole situation.
Well, I mean, we all feel it, and yeah, it would be nice if instead of putting at the back of baseball cards that they would actually give us a little good, honest, yeah, what the F.
Yeah.
But they won't. I feel like they believe that it's in their best interest to maintain, like, everything is fine, nothing to see here. Frank Drebin in the Naked Gun outside of the fireworks store. Please disperse. Nothing to see here. King of All Twitches says on the Twitch, Paul, you can't really afford to bench your number one. Jeez, I don't know, man. If he's your number one, you're kind of effed. I mean, if this is what you're looking at the rest of the way, I don't trust him. He is a good pitcher, no doubt about it, a great one at times. But the inconsistency to me, and the fact that you can't trust him and you possibly can't even coach him, how can he be your number one if that's the case? No matter his talent, and no one should be above this. And I think this is the big problem for a first-year manager and a young catcher who's in that role for the first time, is that a guy like this does something.
Mm.
What's going to stop him from doing it again other than actual punishment?
Yeah, this is definitely a moment where you'd feel more confident about this with Dusty and Maldi here than Joe Espada and Yiner Diaz here, for sure. All right, when we get back, in case you missed it, everything we missed over the weekend, we'll get into that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
First, let me tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. Yes, it's my favorite. You know how I do it. Give me a cocktail glass, a big old rock, two fingers worth of that amber goodness. Goes great with golf. Goes great with everything. Cigars, conversations. Guys, Pendleton Whiskey is so good because of a couple of different things. First off, it's cut with glacier water from Oregon's Mount Hood. Second, made with the finest northern grains. And third, it is barrel-aged in American oak. Blend it all together and you get something that's going to satisfy your inner cowboy. You can get Pendleton Whiskey wherever you get your liquor, whether that's at a liquor store, or it could be also via Drizzly. They'll bring it to you. It's Pendleton Whiskey. It's true Western tradition. Get you some today.
ESPN 97.5.
Did you catch everything this weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Neither did we.
I do not recall that, okay?
It doesn't ring a bell.
Sorry, I have no recommendation of that.
No idea.
Absolutely not.
And now, in case you missed it, with Gallant and George.
All right, Paul, we're going to start with one that's not on the rundown today because I found this yesterday, and it's maybe the most fascinating thing I've ever seen in college sports.
Hit me.
Birmingham Southern, they are a D3 baseball team, okay? They have advanced to the D3 Super Regional. Paul, their college is shutting down on May 31st. If they win their Super Regional and advance to the D3 College World Series, they'll be playing for a school that no longer exists.
Huh.
Yep.
So they're playing for themselves.
They're playing for themselves. They're not playing for the names on the front. They're playing for the names on the back.
Are they going to have to pay for their flights?
I don't know.
Their lodging?
Crazy.
I mean, it's D3, so they're not scholarship, I'd imagine.
Probably
either.
Not. Yeah, what a bizarre...
What's the school called again?
Birmingham Southern.
Okay.
All I know is I'm now rooting for Birmingham Southern.
Sounds like a DeVry. Okay.
Yeah.
Nothing against DeVry or ITT Tech, guys. I'm just saying. Sounds like one of those... places that you'd find around the corner.
It's true.
I lived next to a DeVry.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, or one of those schools when I first moved to Houston over on Kessler.
Hey, there was a fight this weekend.
Yeah, in NASCAR, baby.
Yeah, apparently not just in a race, an all-star race, where the prize is $1 million, but this is an all-star competition. And afterwards, you got dudes throwing haymakers. I love it.
You know what I love? So, the two racers, and look, I'm NASCAR ignorant as well.
Paul's ignorant about his sport? What a surprise.
Yeah, I know. But Ricky Stenhouse got knocked out of the race in the second lap by Kyle Busch.
Early.
He stayed in the middle of the track for the remaining 198 laps. And there was no way out because there's no, I guess, bridge that goes out from underneath the track. He just sat there and stewed for an entire NASCAR race. Now, I'm not that familiar with NASCAR, and I don't know how long a race typically goes, but I know that 200 laps, I'm assuming that's like a minute plus per lap. So we're talking, he might have been sitting there for 3 hours, literally waiting to fight this guy.
Yeah.
You got to imagine the frothy rage that was going through his body over 3 hours. And as an angry little Irish pissant, I relate with that, man. Shout out to you. Now, that is assault, brother,
but his car
assaulted your car.
The best part is that, like, NASCAR is all about it. They're tweeting photos from the official gold verified NASCAR account, photos of the fight. That's great. Like, let's get more of that. If there's ever a real NBA fight, like, why didn't the MLB tweet out photos when Rougned Odor punched Jose Bautista in the face when Tim Anderson got knocked unconscious last year? Where are you at, MLB? Like, support fighting. We are a free fighting nation.
I feel like in states like Texas,
yep,
and Washington,
yep,
there are mutual combat laws where you can agree to a fight and no one gets in trouble as long as there's some sort of handshake agreement. And I believe, now, the lawyers out there, you probably know better than me, but if I'm not mistaken, like, even if someone falls and hits their head really hard, like, if their fight has been mutually agreed upon, then anything goes. Hopefully not actual murder, but if it's legal in a couple of states, why can't it be legal in a sport?
Yeah.
A mutual. Now, many players would just not fight or do the hold me back thing.
Mutual combat.
Yeah.
So the Preakness was this weekend.
It was. Congratulations to the horse who won, and
yep,
hopefully no horses got shot after breaking their legs.
Dude, let me tell you, a lot of horses get shot in Yellowstone. Tough scene.
They do.
Sometimes they don't, like, they don't like show it, but tough scene when that happens.
Very tough scene, but there's a really cool thing that happens at the Preakness, and I think, honestly, this should be on ESPN. It's called the Running of the Porter Potty.
This should be on ESPN The Ocho when they do it.
It should be on ESPN1. Like, they should move the actual stupid horse race to some fake TV, and they should put this on because it's just a bunch of absolute alcoholics getting up on top of porter potties, running across them like it's a track while they're getting pelted by beer cans. I don't think I've ever seen something that embodies the American dream more than that.
Should we put our resignation now into Todd and tell him that we're going to be the commissioners of the porta potty running league?
Well, we'd have to figure out how to monetize it, and I don't know if there'd be a big market for it. We would be able to get beer sales.
I was like, could we ask like Coors Light? Could we ask Granado to help get us a sponsor?
Yeah, Coors Light.
Hey, they'll drink it before they throw it at the people.
Right, or maybe we could get some sponsorship of some beer that everyone thinks is terrible, like that Red Dog stuff, or Purple Haze. That's going to be controversial with Louisianans. I don't care. That stuff's garbage.
I was like, drinking some of that the other day.
You had Purple Haze?
When we were at the bar together on Friday.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
It's the best one they have on tap at the bar downstairs.
Love Street. What are you doing?
Oh, they do have Love Street.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot about that. We got Love Street for the second round.
Okay.
What else did we miss? A bunch of stuff going on in the NBA. Bunch of trash talk here, Paul.
Yeah, the trash talk, I think, has been the best part of these NBA playoffs, especially of late, from Anthony Edwards. So Anthony Edwards, after the game, said that he had Jamal Murray in handcuffs. He got in the face with some old guy courtside saying he needs to get out of his arena. There was another point where he waved goodbye to the crowd with about 30 seconds left, and Nikola Jokic, in particular, seemed to be very upset with that. So, lots of trash talk in the Western Conference. And in the Eastern Conference, Tyrese Halliburton, I don't know if you guys saw him do this, but he put on a hoodie, and that hoodie had a picture of Reggie Miller holding up the choke sign from when the Pacers had that epic comeback against the choking-ass Knicks. I think the Knicks still went on to win that series, though, so I'm not sure if it works entirely, but I like the trash talk in the NBA that we're seeing.
I do feel like Halliburton should have worn it before the game.
I agree with you there. Like, if you're going to do afterwards, it,
yeah.
Maybe.
Now, it's safe. It's safer to do that way.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, wear it before the game.
Yeah. Like, before and after. I think a lot of Knicks fans are in their feelings. Oh, we were really hurt. Oh, we were really injured. Yeah. And you know what? It's good to see them crying about injuries again and also coming up short again. I cannot stand the emphasis that New York puts upon itself, especially considering the Knicks have never done anything of value in my life. Again, like, so I guess beating the Pacers after Reggie Miller did the choking sign is like their swan song. Getting smoked by the Rockets in the finals, I guess that's their other best moment. Can't stand them. So it's good to see them get their comeuppance.
And this weekend was George Strait's birthday.
Yes.
You got a song for
how me? Many? Amarillo by morning. Way down San Antonio. Everything that I got is just what I've got on. Yeah, he's the king of country.
He is the king. All right, we're gonna do a super in case you missed it. Because we were off the air on Friday. Storm took us out. And there was a big story on Friday morning that happened that we're going to get to in the next segment because you got golfers getting arrested. That's next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Back to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Highland Pines Golf Club in Porter.
Gallant and George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from the Occasional Invitation out here at the Highland Pines Golf Club. All right, Paul, I told you I had a little bit of a surprise for you today.
What's that?
So, make sure I clarify this first. We're adding a member to our family. But not a baby.
Okay.
I'm joining a similar club to you. We're going to be a cat family now.
Oh, I'm so happy for you.
Yeah. So Colin from Apollo tweeted out this video of this little cat, this little kitten, that got lost during the storm and nearly got ran over by a truck. So, but the cat's fine. So we're adopting a kitten.
That's awesome.
So I'm going to get him tomorrow.
You're taking him in? Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. My 3-year-old's going to be so excited.
They are.
My allergies? We'll see.
Are you allergic to cats?
They're not severe allergies, as long as I don't touch my eyes. So basically, I can never touch my eyes ever again in my life or wash my hands religiously.
You want to get lint brushes?
Yep.
There's pet dryer sheets.
This is him.
Oh, my God.
So we're getting a little kitty.
Do you know how old the cat is?
No. So plan is tonight, go buy supplies. Tomorrow, go pick him up. Thursday morning, take him to the vet.
Okay.
Make sure fleas, all that stuff. Make sure he's good.
You have a litter box?
That's what we're going to get tonight.
Okay. Litter box, and you're going to want to make him so that he's got, like, his own little confined space.
Okay.
For basically, like, a while. You know, could be a week, could be a little bit longer until he feels comfortable being there. He's a kid, so he's probably going to, you know, acclimate pretty quickly. But also...
Small area. Litter box.
Definitely keep putting him in... Or is it him or her?
It's a him.
Okay. Keep putting him in the litter box until he goes to the bathroom.
Yep.
Like, literally just keep putting him in there. Eventually, they... I don't know what it is, but they just know how to do it.
So you just keep putting him in.
Yep.
And over and over again.
Yeah, literally.
He'll jump out.
Yep.
He'll probably jump out and go back in because
you know, he's a kid and he's going to be a cute little idiot at this phase. But
anything else I should know about being a cat dad?
Dude, it's so easy. I mean, it's so easy.
Following up on Paul's idea, yes, start with a small area. Same thing I did when I had a kid. One thing, though, like I got baby gates, right, to keep the cat with inside the area. Don't get a baby gate that's got, like, little bit, like, holes throughout, like a what do you call it? I can't think of the term for it. But get one that's kind of solid, because what I found out a week in is the cat can climb over that very easily.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yes.
It just did an army crawl right over it, no problem. It's got to be a solid surface that it can't climb up.
You're going to find out about a lot of places that you think are inaccessible to animals that will not be inaccessible anymore.
Roll up like towels and t-shirts and stuff them in like small areas underneath your couch and chairs that you wouldn't want the cat getting into.
Okay. Good to know.
They will try to crawl into tiny spaces to feel safe.
Yes.
And it'd be hard to get out.
Yes, 100%, Brian. There will be at least multiple moments where you have no idea where your cat is and you thought that it left, and it's probably going to be, like, in the most small little area of your place, and you'll find it eventually. But then we'll eventually get to, like, having, like, five or six little hiding spots like that.
Yeah.
What else? Nothing. I'm very happy for you.
Yeah, we're excited.
You know, a lot of people hate on cats. Okay, and look, I get it. They're not as affectionate for you needy people. You know, like you need to have the confirmation of a dog because your life is empty and you got nothing. But for me, as someone who's very confident in himself, it's just so damn easy to have a cat. Like they're sweet when they need to be, but I mean, you don't have to take them on a walk. You just got to change the litter box and feed them a couple of times a day. They do them. You do you. It's great.
Yeah, I can't wait to see my 3-year-old chase the cat around the house.
Oh yeah, that cat's gonna think he's a terrorist.
Yes.
But the thing is, if he's young enough, he actually might enjoy it at first.
That's what I'm hoping.
Old cat plus a baby disaster. Like me and my cat Abby growing up.
Okay. You chased it around too much.
Yeah, Abby was declawed, thankfully, because Abby used to just smack my face a lot.
Yeah, that's going to be on the list of things to ask the vet to do, probably.
No.
No?
That's
no.
going to get you canceled. So
no.
You're going to
no.
retract that. You're going to no. retract
don't,
that.
Don't do that.
Don't declaw.
Don't declaw.
It is. Okay. It is.
Think of cutting off your finger at your middle knuckle. That's what you're doing to the
cat. Okay, don't declaw.
You're not just trimming your fingernails. Okay. You're cutting off their finger halfway.
That's what I thought it was. I thought it was like trimming your fingernails.
No. You're gonna have. That's actually the one annoying thing is you're gonna have to figure out how to clip the toenails because they will scratch stuff. Scratching post key.
Scratching post
in multiple areas.
Right. Good to know.
Multiple areas.
This is the Houston Cat Hour.
Houston Cat
NPR.
Hour.
NPR 97.5.
I mean, here's the thing. Like this time slot's used to this. Like before, it was like they did lawn talk or whatever. On the Usual Suspects, we're doing cat talk now on the show.
Oh.
That's our new branding.
I feel
the
like
cat dads. I'm gonna have Michael Carroll make a rejoin for that one. The cat dads.
The cat dads
on ESPN 97.5. Austin, what are we doing? Austin. You're booing us.
Austin's booing us.
Austin's booing
you're
us.
You're 3-1 here, Austin.
Austin, sorry, but like I've always thought that you might have like a snake at home, so like, I'm not gonna allow that boo.
And then Friday morning, Scottie Scheffler got arrested trying to get into the golf tournament this weekend.
So
there was a tragedy that happened in the area. He's trying to get in. He's been told he has clearance if he's in a PGA car, and then. Like, I guess he rolled his window down. The cop reached in. What did you call him yesterday?
The picture of the police officer who arrested Scottie Scheffler looks like adult Eric Cartman.
Yes, that's what it is.
It looks exactly like adult Eric Cartman. Like 30 years from now, Eric Cartman, who is finally getting people to respect his authority. And this is such a funny story. And it really looks like, Joe, that everything's going to be dropped. So basically, what we saw initially is that apparently, per the report, he drove off Scheffler around, and the cop, I guess, grabbed him or something like that, and it seems like he fell, but there's no body cam of it. We know that the person's pants, which were valued at $80, were damaged beyond repair.
Pricey. Pricey pants.
I gotta say, I don't buy that police officers' pants are $80.
I don't think so either.
I mean, 80 seems like a lot. Maybe 50 if, you know, if we're going for a high-end pair of slacks or something like that. But unless there's some Kevlar in there or something like that, 80. But it seems like all charges are potentially going to be dropped in this case. And, man, what a story for Scottie Scheffler, who, let's be honest, is a bit boring as golfers go. So now he's got a little bit of respect on his name, a little street cred now.
Yeah, it's just a weird story. Like, just for it to happen, like, such a good golfer, and then, like, this is the story of the weekend. None of the stories golf. That's the funny thing about the sport.
Because Xander Schauffele is not the same person as Scottie Scheffler,
like,
which I found out on Sunday.
Correct.
I love how that makes Joel so angry, like, that I don't know the names of obscure golfers in another boring-ass sport.
It really does upset him. And normally he would be upset about hearing you say that, acknowledging that, but he's not listening right now.
Yeah, because he's golfing.
He's pretending to
golf right
now.
I'm sure he hasn't sliced eight balls and has not sworn once about his bad play.
Brian, are you concerned about the mentality of your show today, considering that Jeremy and Joel are golfing together?
No, because I think Joel's the same either way. I think Joel's going to come in hot. He's going to come in intense regardless.
You don't think that if he loses by 10 strokes to Jeremy, he's going to be
playing head to head?
Well, oh wait, no, yeah, they're not. Never mind.
No, I don't think Jeremy.
I don't remember what the rules are today.
Jeremy's competitive, but he's not competitive to the point of comparing scores to others. Like, he's competitive with
Joel
himself.
Would compare the scores. Yeah,
it's
to
like
others.
And if they're playing like scramble.
Jeremy's competitive, like doing his own personal best, but not really, he doesn't really care about.
Like if they're doing a scramble, like Joel's definitely keeping track of whose shots are being
Joel
used.
Joel is the guy that if you go putt putt is fact checking your scores.
Yes,
Joel is definitely the kind of person who would be paying attention to Granato's score the entire time for comparison's sake. And if he gets a better score than Granato, he will never let anyone hear the end of it. Understandably so. That would be kind of funny. I do want to see perhaps a cold war between two shows that we're not a part of that have to do with the golfing
trivial.
At today's Occasional Invitational. I want that.
My biggest concern is that like Lance is going to get severely hurt out there.
Why? Is he? Does he?
He's frail.
He can't play disc golf
He's
without
frail?
Getting hurt.
He gets hurt playing disc golf.
He can't walk through parking lots at stadiums without getting hurt.
What happens?
I don't know exactly.
Turned ankles all the time.
I've heard.
It's mostly turned ankles.
He's got to wear high tops. That's what high tops are for.
Yeah.
They got high top Jordans, right?
They do. They have golf Jordans, They're high tops.
They have golf Jordans.
They're pretty sick.
Joe would be the person to know that.
I was looking at buying some new Jordans, and I saw them.
How many Jordans do you have?
Four.
Oh, okay.
I need a new pair.
That's less than I thought.
Yeah, I don't
care about you.
I got to keep it responsible.
That's fair.
It's the hats that are I'm irresponsible.
Yeah, mine's Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah. Big price difference here between you and me, though. I'm what? I can get like two
hats.
Jordans? No, I'm for the hats.
Oh, yeah, two hats for one
shirt.
Two hats for one Hawaiian shirt. Mm. All right, it's Glenn George here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. CJ Stroud throwing touchdown passes today to Nico Collins. We'll get into what's going on with the Texans and some questions we saw about the Texans season next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
First, let me tell you about my friends in MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. You enter promo code BET975. You're going to get an awesome deposit bonus when you first sign up, or a reload bonus if you don't have any cash in your covers online. So, okay. Astros, you want to see them bounce back. They're 1.5-run favorites with Christian Javier on the hill against Griffin, Canning, again, like the Angels sound like made-up people, every single player on that roster. I can't believe that Fromber blew that one last night. Thanks, Fromber. You've been so consistent of late. I mean, honestly, next time I see him on mybookie.ag, I am fading the Astros with Fromber on the mound out of spite. Because if they win, you know, hey, I'll feel good about it. But if they lose, at least I'll have something to look at, seeing how Fromber's been so dang inconsistent this year. But also, you could bet on the NBA playoffs tonight in our first game. Tips off tonight at 7. It's my Boston Celtics, 10.5-point favorites against the Indiana Pacers at the TD Garden, kid. I got to say, 10.5 seems a lot. As much as I love the Celtics, and as many times as they've beaten teams by 30-plus points, you can bet on either of those games at mybookie.ag. Again, promo code BET975 for that awesome deposit bonus. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.